Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Top Chef for Hap. I am Haley Strong. And I'm joined today by an illustrious panel once again. Tanya Starks, how's it going?
Hi, just over here being illustrious.
Per usual. Kurt Clark joining us.
Just over here being a panel. I've got my Blackberry Bramble to enjoy. Underreported. I love this stuff. So
I feel like at this point it's accurately reported.
Perfectly reported. It might be verging on overreported, but
is it like sexy grape juice?
It is a ready to drink cocktail. It's got vodka in it and blackberries, and that's all. Ooh, I care about.
Okay.
Lemon.
You gotta send me some of these. Like, I need some recommendations on canned alcoholic beverages.
It's from New Holland Brewery. It's part of their New Holland Spirits line.
Right? Oh.
They probably carry it at Binny's or
one of the I'm very into canned alcoholics lately. It just is easy. Yeah. I love like a canned rosé and sparkling rosé. Sign me up for that.
I've got a watermelon vodka or watermelon seltzer. Watermelon vodka seltzer in the fridge. I've got some Bloody Marys, and I've got this. So it's been good.
But One thing we bought recently, which was not worth the $3.50 we spent at the LCBO. Ethan bought like a vodka water with lemon in a can. And I guess we just didn't really expect how water it would be, but it was pretty water.
That's kind of how the watermelon went. It's like a hint of watermelon.
But like, at least there's bubbles. Like, this was just flat water. It was just vodka water.
Yeah. Yikes. No one wants that.
No.
What is this product?
I don't know. We just bought it because we bought it, I guess, just for something to do.
For shiggles.
Anyway, yeah, Top Chef. We're here to talk about Top Shelf.
Yeah.
Top Shelf.
I go for well drinks. Thank you.
Great episode. I loved it.
Yeah. Fantastic episode. Lots of like, I thought the quick fire was really cool. And I usually am not a fan of dessert anything challenges. Not because I don't enjoy desserts. I'm not a fascist, but just because they seem more difficult for contestants to make. It's always like contestants come in with one dessert they can make, hoping that they're going to use it for the finale. And then once they use it, they're done.
Yeah, but I feel like at least with this quick fire, you almost like didn't have to blow your dessert load. Like, I feel like you could have easily brought in something else. You could have made it a little more savory. So the quick fire, create a layered dessert inspired by Talenti Gelato. Have either of you tried this gelato?
I've had Talenti Gelato before, but not their layered gelatos. Not like with the strata, like an archaeological dig of awesomeness and sugar.
Do you think it costs under or over $7 USD?
It's over seven.
I would guess $7.99, right?
Yeah, how much does Halo Top cost there?
I've never had Halo Top, but I have had Talenti.
There's a local brand where I think the proceeds go towards like a pet shelter charity. Mm-hmm. It's called like dog bone ice cream. It's human ice cream. It's not like one of those desserts for pets, I swear. but there's a chocolate ice cream that they have with like chocolate chunks and chocolate chips, and the name of the ice cream is Better Than a Therapist. Quite good and quite accurate.
I will say there is no dessert my cat loves more than ice cream.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Cats, and we try not to let. Yeah, like, and I don't know. He just loves it. You're eating it, and he'll be like on my spoon, like trying to put his mouth around it.
I'm trying to think if the local grocery store I go to has a sorbet. I know they've got a freezer specifically of mochi.
Wow,
a little like a mini. It's like a mini branded thing about like the size of the dimensions of a cooler, but like a small like beer cooler, but taller, just deep. But like, I know like Whole Foods would have a gelato area and some like your nicer.
What? Like a whole gelato area?
Yeah. Gelato and like ice creams and things that.
Yeah, okay. I thought you meant like a specific like aisle just for gelato. I was how fancy is this place?
Like a deli type of thing where there's like a counter where you can like order like a dessert, like a little bit of an ice cream counter sort of thing.
The grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Whole Foods. Yeah, it's one of the bigger ones. Yeah.
The grocery store in my building has like a whole like couple of cases dedicated to just Jenny's flavors, which is the grocery store in my building is ridiculous. Every time I go down there, I'm like, I feel like I should have dressed up for this.
That place sounds lush.
Yeah, it's pretty fancy. It's way too fancy for me. My sister calls me bougie all the time because of it.
Unfortunately, I discovered, like, Emily Fox, bless her heart, had recommended Jenny's, I think, during our Great British Bake Off coverage. And I had learned that there was a Jenny's ice creamery or what have you, maybe like a 10-minute drive from my apartment in Woodland Hills. And I managed to go there, I think, twice before I moved from Los Angeles to back to Michigan. But Jenny's is good. I enjoyed the Jenny's I've had.
Did you try the everything bagel? Jenny's?
No, I did not. I didn't see it.
The everything what, Jenny's?
Bagel.
Okay.
Are you going to make fun of how I say bagel?
Yep, I sure am. Had to be done.
Bagel. Do it. Bagel? Bagel? How do you want me to say
bagel? Oh, definitely not bagel.
Bagel?
Bagel.
Bagel. Bagel.
Like Chesapeake Bay
Gull.
Bagel.
Like there's a gull over a bay.
Bagel.
Yeah. It's not a seagull. It's a bagel.
Bagel.
Bagel. So Talente, three-layer, multi-layer. Here's the thing. I don't think that they necessarily, because they specifically had to get like a three-layer to dessert, if they had brought something in like in their mind for a finale, it might not have applied. So they
may Yeah, that's kind of how it feels too. Yeah. Like the 45-minute time limit, usually with most desserts, I think, the time's usually a little bit longer. So I feel like there wasn't a whole lot of time to bake anything too crazy. I could have done cookies real quick. Let's start with the loser. Brittany made a rum gingerbread trifle with caramel apples and salted whipped cream. Unfortunately for her, she made a mistake in not making the gingerbread herself. She used a pantry item. I think that's just a mistake. That's a classic mixtape.
Is that a trap that they laid? Like, why would you have
the cookies? Like, what's wrong with you people?
Because I'm guessing, like, unless the intent was you would crumble some of the, like, you'd get the cookie from the pantry and then crumble it and do something with the crumble. But other than that, I can't. Then you'd probably still get dinged. Yeah, I just crumbled up.
Or make like a gingerbread like crust or something like that, like bottom.
It seems like there'd be like, you think they would still encourage you to make your own?
Like Brittany Babes, like, come on, you're not just going to stick a gingerbread man in the top of the trifle and be like, yes, and call it dessert.
Yes,
I could not help thinking anytime anyone says trifle, I shouldn't have put meat in the trifle.
What was that from? Thinking.
From Friends.
Oh, okay.
The great Thanksgiving Day episode of Friends.
The thing that confused me at first was that I had thought they were each going to have to create a dish inspired by one of the flavors.
I kind of thought so too, but then it was a little more loose.
But then I thought they were going to taste it at least.
Some of them did. Some of them were.
I would have wasted half my time tasting all of them.
The thing is, there were on my second watch, I saw there were 13 pints of ice cream.
Oh,
and there were 13 chefs. So I'm wondering if they did, and they just didn't like take the time to go into that level of detail for us. Like, I'm wondering if I'd be curious if any of the chef testants are listening, let us know. Was the actual task to pair up with the flavor, and it's just they just edited that element of it out. Which should, I think, be easy to do. Mm-hmm. You just would have had to them. They would have just had to cut out when they present their dishes. Yeah, I had the blank, 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 blank Talente, and I made a whatever. But I kind of would want to go and like zoom in on some of the flavor, because we saw Avishar tasting something, and I wonder if it was chocolatey, peanut buttery, what he was tasting. But we may never know.
The world may never know.
Byron made goat cheese ice cream with fig and date jam with brioche, walnuts, and pistachios. This sounds lovely.
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Like, he is this. I'm like looking ahead. There was, what was the, Oh no, it was Gabe's mashed potatoes, Gabriel's mashed potatoes with the goat cheese. And I knew there were a couple different goat cheese experiences in this episode, but the goat cheese ice cream with that jam and the nuts, I would give this a try immediately.
For sure. That would be my go-to dessert at a restaurant. Goat cheese experience is actually the name of our new band. Look for our LP coming out next month.
I need my band Walnuts and Pistachios. So I think you picked a better name.
Thanks. But yeah, I love dessert, but I often don't get it at the end of meals, you know, in the before times when we went to dinner, because I don't like things that are too sweet. It seems like having the goat cheese element here with the ice cream, plus combining it with some actual fruit. You know, date jam. Come on, fig and date jam. Walnuts, let's do it.
I think I just got a container of fig and date jam in a subscription box that I subscribed to.
You guys, somebody is making some goat cheese ice cream.
I'm running to my fridge for a moment. You guys continue talking about Dawn's dish, which I, by the way, blackberry caramel. I'll give my opinion on that in 10 seconds.
Well, okay. We will talk about it too quickly for you to come back and talk about it. Parfait of toasted rice mousse with a blackberry caramel and black sesame seed crumble. Mm. I kind of felt like that too. I wanted there to be like some more like creamy element or something. Yeah, to that.
Toasted rice mousse. I don't know. I haven't gotten used to rice in my desserts, so maybe that's it. And then you add the black sesame crumble on top, and I don't want sesame seeds. I don't think in my dessert. So maybe that's the. But I love Dawn. So whatever she does is wonderful.
I honestly, the only thing about this that intrigued me was the blackberry caramel, because we know that I like the blackberries, but I'm curious what that would end up actually tasting like.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of curious. And by the way, the jam that I got, it was nowhere near a fig and date jam. It was a spiced raisin marmalada.
Ooh.
With Ras el Hanout spicing and smoked cinnamon.
Wow.
That sounds lovely.
That's fancy.
Sounds different than what we were talking about. But
yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. But I'm glad that you remembered you had jam.
Yeah. That's.
Thanks for bragging that A, you have jam, and that B, your computer's close to your fridge.
Humble brag. I got preserved fruit in my fridge.
Okay. Hear me out. I should get a mini fridge in here.
Uh-huh. That would be great, actually.
Yeah. Done. That's
something to think about.
You have to now.
I do. Yeah. Jamie made crispy burnt end brownies with toasted sesame seeds, yuzu strawberry compote, and a chocolate gelato. This sounded nice and tasty.
I would have tried
like the burnt end of brownies.
No, you're right. I don't, but I like. I would get the soft bit.
That's true. I prefer the interior brownies and not the edge brownies.
Well, you see those pans, right? It's like all brownie edge. It's like I don't want that. I want the soup in the middle.
Yep.
The soup.
I like burnt ends when it comes to brisket. You know,
well, I think that's what I'm like. I could go for some burnt end brisket. Like that's where I'm going with that.
Yes, exactly. When I think burnt ends, I'm thinking about ribs or something like that, not my desserts.
I would have tried it, but it wouldn't have been my go-to. So far, the go-to for me is the goat cheese ice cream.
Mm-hmm. That's I'm with you there.
Chris made. The Oregon Trail. Had to get that in somewhere. With hazelnut cake, smoked chanterelle pastry cream, Pinot Noir blueberry puree, and candied hazelnuts. I did like that he tried to use some Oregon stuff.
I can't
hear. The judges seem perplexed at the chanterelle pastry cream.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
Yo, yeah. I was like, these are mushrooms, right? And I had like, because I know. Yes. like in the kitchen walkthrough, he actually specifically said chanterelle mushrooms, and then at the table he just said chanterelle. I'm like, well, let me just double check online that, but I'm pretty sure those are those are definitely mushrooms. That explains the look.
Yeah.
Although calling it Oregon Trail, all I think of is dysentery. So
the Oregon Trail didn't go great.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a banger. The Oregon Trail.
But it was. I would have wanted to try this just to see how the chanterelle pastry cream ended up.
All I could think the whole time they talked about this dessert was Pinot Noir
from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, right?
Yeah.
Oh, too good.
Titus.
Oh, that's funny. Kiki made the peach pie twist, which is stewed peaches and shortbread crumb. She was in the bun for this. I wouldn't say no to this, honestly.
It's a missed opportunity. It sounds like peach cobbler to me.
Yeah, it sounds delicious. I love warmed peaches.
And she had wanted to incorporate was a sweet corn kind of whipped cream, but it didn't end up setting or shelling enough for her to whip it good. So she ended up having to, I think, adapt on the fly. And
are we unhinged today?
A little bit.
Yes.
I'm going to open the window. I need some fresh air.
Okay. So it was a little bit, I think it was supposed to be a little bit more peaches and cream than it ended up. She had to like pivot partway through because her sweet corn cream, which really intrigued me, did not end up working out. So
I just wanted the peach. Like I was just watching those peaches be cut and they looked delicious. Yeah. Like they looked fantastic. So
I do also have a brown sugar peach jam in my fridge.
Okay. Well, now you're just showing off.
Avishar made the winning dish. Actually, I texted the two of you, but I saw Avishar in an episode of Guy's Grocery Games this week. What a thrill for all of us.
Oh, that's what those words meant.
Yes.
I was like, I don't know what that means, but good for Avishar. I love Avishar.
And I love Guy Fieri.
I love how he was saying, I swear this is not for show. It has a reason when he was doing the liquid nitrogen.
I was so scared at the top of the episode because I thought we were getting a lot of Avishar. I was like, please, my sweet baby Jesus, let this mean he wins. Luckily, he gets immunity because he wins with a Buckeye bonbon with brown butter and liquid graham cracker. He was the only one to make a little bite-sized dessert with layers, like a planet, like the Earth, with the molten lava.
I thought Padma had hurt herself. Or like,
I know.
I thought she broke a tooth, and like, she was like, no, you lose because I broke a tooth.
Yeah.
Or that her tongue had frozen solid or something.
Yeah, she's like, I have to quit now. Yeah.
The only thing that she could remark about was the coldness. It's great that you could keep it so cold. The look on her face as she was eating it, I was like, this is a classic bottom dish because Padma's face is not happy. But
that's
it turns
what I
out
too.
Just a lot of brain freeze and a lot of flavors. So that's great.
I would have tried the hell out of this though. Like this was friend of the show, Maureen Winston. It's like she hails from Ohio and she was like, a Buckeye's just a glorified peanut butter cup. Like get off my screen. But I think she may have changed her mind because of the three-layer part of it. And Maureen, I apologize if I mischaracterized your message, but that's my takeaway. But the fact that this wasn't just, this was like more than simply a peanut butter cup. Like it was multi-layered. He was using liquid nitrogen. He had, he brought some science to it. So I think he changed up the classic Ohioan dish.
Yeah. I love that he's mad scientist in the
he's
kitchen.
He's not like Marcel, who's like doing stuff just to do stuff.
Right.
It's I feel like he's doing it because he knows the science behind it. Whereas Marcel, it was kind of like he's doing this because he thinks he looks cool doing it.
Yes.
And I don't think that's a fear for Avishar.
The least cool-looking thing that anyone can do is pour liquid nitrogen because you're just like, don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me the whole time.
It's hard not to have that oh shit look on your face whenever you're handling liquid nitrogen. I would like freeze something I didn't want frozen.
Yeah. I would drop it on myself. I would drop the whole vat of it.
So would I. Yeah.
Maria made Puerto Rican arroz con leche with fried plantains, honey, and sea salt. That sounds nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad that she was on the bottom basically because she just gave them these just like giant hunks of dessert.
It seems like an unfair reason.
Yeah, it's just like there's too much dessert. What?
I like you like, I'm not used to cooking for just two.
I love that. I would have made them, I guess they can't share it right now, but.
It's true.
Oh, right.
That is a good point. It's like they didn't seem to find anything wrong with the dish substantially other than the fact it was too much.
It was substantial. Yeah,
it was very substantial. Maybe if she could have cut it in half and plated it in a way that made it seem like one of them and plated it in a way that made it seem, you know, like it was meant to be that way all along and she could have won.
Shota has this week's submission into top yogurt with smoked whipped yogurt with matcha, miso crumbles and yuzu kiwi. Sounds fine.
Yeah, sounds fine. You know?
Sarah was also in the top with matcha dusted cream puff with grilled strawberries and miso whipped cream. She gets kudos for actually baking something. I think she deserves that. I feel like she was pretty heavy-handed with that matcha, though.
This, both Shota and Sarah had matcha and miso. Interesting. I couldn't tell if this was something I would have wanted to try. That's the only thing.
I love a grilled fruit.
I love a cream puff, so I think I would like to try it for sure.
But yeah, still out of all of them, Byron's is calling out to me.
I'm thinking Byron's or Avishar's, not just to go over the ones that were in the top or the winner, but those are the two I think I would lean toward.
Yeah, Byron's for sure.
And we didn't see Gabriel or Nelson, interestingly enough.
Which kind of made me, because occasionally we'll see that where they don't go through every single quick fire dish. And there was no Canadian edit, I believe, this week, because our episode was just an hour, Haley.
Nice.
When we didn't see them in the quick fire, I was pretty sure that they would be safe from elimination as well. Mm-hmm. At this point, though, I was like, Brittany?
Yeah, I was worried for Brittany the entire time.
Yeah,
I just felt like there was no chance she was making it out of here.
Immediately from the opening scene when she's just sitting there bawling, I felt so bad for her because she felt responsible for Sasha going home. And that can really demoralize someone and or make them feel less confident than they typically would in a competition like this. So, yeah, it seemed like the writing was on the wall a little bit from the very beginning.
She was definitely survivor guilt. So I can understand that. It was just something, especially when it's a dish that you jointly worked on.
Yeah. And survivor guilt, everyone, is the feeling that you have after watching too many episodes of Survivor.
And not having gotten other stuff done. Yeah.
Exactly.
Tell us a lot of that. My second year of university.
I really watched Survivor Gabon again. That sort of thing. Then we, so Avishar wins.
He does. He does indeed, which was great and really hilarious. And he's adorable, too. He's just like, he looked like he was on the verge of tears. He was so happy. It was really nice to see.
And it made me feel good that I wasn't going to have to worry about his state for the rest of the episode.
Exactly. Yeah. He's one of the faves, in my opinion, just because of how endearing his personality is.
And then we see Kwame and Gregory come together, and they divide the groups and they take them out to some great Portland hotspots featuring African cuisine in different forms. So they get taken to a Taiwanese restaurant, a Haitian restaurant,
a Jamaican
restaurant,
Guyanese. Did you say
Guyanese? Yeah. And it was. Can we talk about for a second how fantastic both Gregory and Kwame looked?
Oh my God.
Everyone in this episode just kind of stepped it up several notches in terms of style. Because when we get to the final challenge and, you know, everyone's there at the restaurant eating, they all look so great that it's just ridiculous. You know, the wardrobe budget really has gone up on this show this season.
Kwame looks so beautiful. Like, I loved his coat.
So beautiful.
And he's still rocking the painted nails, which I'm a huge fan of.
The obsidian black nails.
Oh, he just looks so good. And Gregory looked great, too. I think Kwame might be my new, style inspiration. It's just so, neat, but, him and Melissa have really great,
really, like, Tom Ford lines, just kind of, architectural. Yeah. I love it.
Do I have to break the news to Marcus Samuelson that you no longer dig his attire?
No.
I love him still, too.
I love him so much. When is he going to be on the show?
I've gotten my Marcus fix lately on the Guy Fieri's Tournament of Champions. He's often one of the judges that comes in, and every time he comes in, he just looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish I could, pull that off.
He has great skin, too.
Oh so beautiful. Goodness.
So beautiful. Well, Thirst Corner. The first has ended.
Thirst Corner.
I'm sure that there will be another Thirst Corner as we move on in the episode.
It's like an octagonal room of thirst. All of our Thirst Corners. Well,
my Thirst Corner is like at that Akadi restaurant, the first one they went to, like that beef dish. It just looked amazing. It was all of this looked amazing, but that one was just, I can't remember the name of it, but just the description of it, like it being kind of just marinated heavily in garlic and it just looks stellar.
It's really fantastic to see Pan-African Portland, and to have Top Chef begin to realize that all of the foods that are around the world are inspired by African cuisine because of the combination of slavery and colonialism, kind of like wreaking havoc of the continent. And so there are so many, and, you know, then waves of immigration and such. But there's so many spices that were taken to, you know, both America and England, and then kind of circulated that way. Dishes that were brought because there were indentured servants being brought to places like Guyana, for example, and then mixed in with the local cuisine there. So there's more like Indian influence there as well, because there's like a larger Indian community there. Mm-hmm. It's just really fantastic to see that this is being showcased, and to have these contestants, especially the Black contestants that are in the show, get a chance to like really tear up because they feel like they're home, is something that's very powerful. And I'm glad that the show decided to showcase this.
I agree. I really liked the impact that this had on Kiki, and how she had said how this is how she had kind of started out wanting to cook and hadn't really felt like she'd been able to pursue that.
Yeah.
And I think what her heritage was it Congo? Is it Congolese?
I believe from the Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Yeah. And that was which I think what her cuisine was focusing on. But I liked to your point that, like, I think Kwame was talking to the rest of the judges about like how the trip went. And he mentioned, he asked if anybody had West African cuisine before, and they said no. And he's like, no, you have, you just don't know it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, and I'll say this got me to explore and start looking at like, where are some of the kind of Pan-African places near me in central Michigan. There aren't a lot, but there are some. Mm-hmm. And so my goal over the next couple of weeks is to start checking some of them out. Looking forward.
There's definitely going to be some really good ones there. And I can only imagine how fantastic the Indian food is, too, because of the huge like Indian population.
There is one place within walking distance of me that is a great Indian restaurant. That's their butter chicken and their garlic naan is just to die for.
Oh, I bet. That sounds delicious.
I'd be hungry.
We should stop doing this at lunchtime. It was really emotional to watch all these people come together and really feel like for once their culture was being respected and being highlighted, because so often we see things labeled as Southern food or whatever, mm-hmm. when obviously it has traditions of not just the Southern people. It comes from Africa. It came in a way that's not good.
Yeah, just abhorrent.
Not great.
And, it was also heartbreaking, though, when they were doing the talking heads, to see Kiki talk about how she felt her restaurants had been taken away from her because she wanted to do food that was more like, you know, this food, more Pan-African inspired food, and that was the original intent of her own restaurants, and they were kind of wrestled away from, you know, that ability was wrestled away from her. So it's one of those things where it's just like, it must be incredibly hard for Black chefs in food, period, like full stop. But if you can point to an example of someone who has multiple restaurants and people are telling them that their cuisine is essentially not elevated enough because of its roots, and those are her roots as well, that has to be terrible for any chef.
Yeah. And I haven't checked out. She's, I think, the one that person from my home state here. I need to check out. Just like, I'm not familiar with like even like the what her menus are. To see if I can, once things open up, definitely make my way over to the Detroit area. Only a 2.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
We've all driven for food.
Yeah,
than that before.
Yeah.
So the elimination challenge was to create a dish inspired by Pan-African cuisine. For the first time this season, we are seeing individual dishes, which is good. I'm excited to see everybody cook for themselves. We start off with Byron, who made red stew marinated snapper with cassava cod cake and escabeche. I was surprised he like doubled down on the fish. They were really like down, DTF, down to fish.
I, I'm not DTF. I was going through this and looking at you know, which things would I want to try. The doubling up on fish here. Double the fish, DTF.
Double the fish, double the fun. That's what they always say.
I was like, not really feeling it. Just that's a me. I'm sure it was great, not top three, but this wouldn't have been my go-to to try.
No, I don't think so either. I gave the initial looks of the food a very sophisticated ranking system of 1 to 4, 1 being nom, 2 being love, 3 being almost good, and 4 being no thank you.
Oh, okay. So I was like, nom. Well, okay, that's, how does it get better from there? So one is high, 4 is low.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And for Byron's, I gave a almost good.
So like, what was it?
Maybe could have had potential.
Could you go over the scale one more time?
Sure. Is nom. 1 is nom, just like nom, nom, nom.
Yeah.
2 is love. Just, you know, would love to try, but maybe not as like sure that I'm going to love it.
You're not licking the plate.
Exactly.
Okay.
3 is almost good, which, you know, it looks like you tried, you gave it a valiant effort. It's almost good. And then 4 is no, thank you. I'd rather not.
Yeah. This is one this would be a 3 for me, and almost good also, like in terms of, it's not only because it's the double the fish is not really what I'm interested in, but made by a great chef, I'm sure it's great. So those things average out. I'd try it if given the chance, I guess, if there wasn't anything that spoke to me. But yeah, 3.
Yeah.
What would you give Brittany's pickled mackerel with allspice fritter, red stew, coconut sauce, and charred cucumber?
I gave that one a no thank you, just simply because I'm not too into the pickled fish.
That did throw me off a little. I will not lie.
Well, I think that's big in Scandinavia, right? And she said she focuses a lot on, not on Scandinavian. I recognize more on like Alpine/German cuisine. So kind of clustering all those in like Northern Central Europe. For me, this is the fish and the pickling is what would kind of take me away from this one as well.
Yeah. It's like, you know, valiant effort to try to fuse those flavors during a Pan-African challenge. But no, thank you.
And it sounded like where her main shortcoming was her fear of spice. Mm. And I liked how the judges, like she was kind of going down the road of she doesn't like spicy foods. And they're like, kind of reiterated, well, spicy doesn't have to mean hot. It just has to mean flavorful.
There's plenty of
you know, on theme flavors that she could have pumped up, but it was just kind of bland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was having a hard time at the restaurants as well because she was having issues with the spice. And I understand just from like a tummy perspective that sometimes you can really like want food and then it can end up being too spicy for you. But I do agree that, you know, those spices can be tempered and you can just get a great flavor out of things as opposed to just like blowing out someone's palate with how spicy something is. Can't be afraid to use spices and flavors during a Pan-African challenge. That's going to get you eliminated every day.
I do have on my fridge these 6. I'd ask for like a spice.
Is it a spiced jam?
It is not a spiced jam. I'm just like, yeah, this is spiced raisin. I'd asked for like a spice kit or spice rack for Christmas. And I ended up being given kind of these I think it's Gustus Vite, the company. There's Taste of Morocco. There's like spice blends. There's Taste of Morocco, Taste of Greece, Taste of Italy, or it's like Taste of Tuscany, Taste of Jamaica, Taste of Thailand, and a 6th one that I can't remember off the top of my head. And so I was like, yeah, just see if they have that spice blend there and just dump it in.
We've got to do a tour of your fridge on one of these podcasts. I'm intrigued.
It's embarrassing. I don't have a lot of like staples.
It's just jams.
Just jams.
like only jams on.
I used to have a jam shelf. I used to really be into jams. It used to be my jelly, if you pick up on a banana.
Holy shit. Well, you know what? I know we didn't finish covering the episode, but I think that's where we got to end it. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks for stopping by, everybody.
Nelson made obe atta dindin braised chicken with jerk spice yuca, sweet plantains, and fava bean puree.
Great name, by the way. Mm. And this would be the first one of the ones we've had so far that I would try. The braised chicken sounds amazing. And I love me some sweet plantains.
Oh, and I love yuca. Like, in jerk spice, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, that one got a love. That one got a, like, love, we'll try. Anything that brought in the actual dish, like a dindin, like, brought in one of the actual dishes. And I love plantains. Plus, I have a love for fava beans, not necessarily because they're the yummiest bean in the world, but just because of Hannibal Lecter.
I thought you were going to switch those around. Yeah. I thought you were going to say not because of Hannibal Lecter, but because it's completely because of,
I'm weird. It's definitely because of Hannibal Lecter.
That's fine. That's great.
Next up, we have what I think probably would be my favorite dish. Jamie's crispy snapper with turmeric couscous and heirloom potatoes and pickles. Oh gosh, I love a crispy fish, and this looks so good. And the way they were saying it was like so light. Oh, it looked amazing.
Yeah, a nom for sure.
This gets a.
We're not asking you for your input on fish dishes anymore.
Okay,
you're a fish hater.
Are you really a fish hater, or
it doesn't excite me?
Fish doesn't.
Because you haven't had good fish.
It needs to be prepared in an interesting manner.
Uh huh.
And crispy isn't interesting enough for you?
No. There was a tuna steak that was stuffed with baby shrimp. That was amazing.
Huh.
Anyway.
Yeah. That sounds great. But I mean, so that's like the only condition under which you'll eat fish is if it's stuffed with other seafood.
there has to be something about it. It's like, oh, that sounds intriguing. That's not just like normal fish.
Got it.
Like everything I found is a crispy snapper, like turmeric, okay, couscous, okay, heirloom tomatoes, okay, pickles, okay. Like those are all just things next to it on the plate that just didn't excite me.
Mm. It seemed I was excited. If you've got like a really crispy piece of fish, then when you bring together the heirloom tomatoes and the pickles, all of that stuff really just like brings out like a new flavor. I'd be very excited to try that one. It looked really great on the plate.
Well, LaTanya and I are going to get some crispy fish after this.
Yeah, seriously. I'll be right there. As soon as we're done recording, I'll just walk on over to Canada.
I think it seems reasonable enough. Our winner, Dawn, she made curry goat with crispy roti with fondant potatoes and green pepper sauce. After seeing her really struggle in the first week, I really love seeing her just move on up. It was a thrill to see her win this. She was so excited, and her dish looked amazing.
This one I would try. This one sounded really good.
Yeah, and the plating of that green sauce that apparently was just fantastic. To the point where Tom wanted more. Whenever Tom is just like bottle up some of this stuff for me, it makes me very happy. And to see Don get everything on the plate.
Yes.
A true thrill.
Oh my gosh. That was wonderful.
First episode where she did that. She missed it out of the quick fire, the second episode in elimination, the first episode. So yeah, she fully plated.
Yeah.
All day.
She's adjusted. I think she's going to be hitting her stride, I predict, in the next few episodes now that she's gotten the competition itself. Like, she's gotten an idea of what the competition requires of her because she's an athlete. So she's just going to, you know, use all of that training to transfer over to this.
Yeah. The fact that they wanted to bottle up the green pepper sauce is very telling. I say, no, that was a challenge from last season or two seasons ago.
Tom will always be like, put some of this stuff up for me. That one time where he asked for the soup because he was sick. That was adorable. He was just like, I already asked him to put some in a container for me. It's going to be great.
Oh. Gabriel made red stew, braised Oregon lamb shoulder with goat cheese, mashed potatoes, and soya spice, best potato chips. They didn't seem to be like super crazy, at least about his mashed potatoes.
This is too white.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yep.
Richard's like, I'll say it.
That was great. That was fantastic.
I mean, that had been said. I think like they were saying like, you know, they liked the mashed potatoes, but then they'd hit a chunk of like goat cheese and it would just like all of their taste buds would immediately just be kind of like wiped out and go, that sounds amazing. I would love some goat cheese mashed potatoes. Maybe not for this challenge. But this dish really did interest me, but not necessarily through the filter of this challenge.
Exactly.
The lamb shoulder, the goat cheese mashed potatoes, would love to try it. But I'm not surprised this did not make the top.
Yeah, not for this challenge at all. The only thing that really seemed to like scream this is for this challenge is the suya spice. And the fact that it was supposed to be a red stew. But I don't know that you need mashed potatoes if you've got a red stew.
And the red stew was in quotes, though. But that wasn't really...
But he also put it in quotes.
Yeah, he did. He did. But I'm like wondering, like, why? Like, what was it that was, like, you know, sort of red stew? Yeah, like, I don't remember it coming up in the kitchen. Like, yeah, I'm going to be taking a different approach to... I remember because there was one point where he said he didn't want to use... like buttermilk, he wanted to use something else.
Heavy cream.
I'm wondering, is that why? I don't know if that was part of the red stew or, I don't know. But yeah, it seems fine. But not
seemed like the mashed potatoes took over the whole plate.
Yeah.
And I think someone, was it Kwame that said that his mouth felt held hostage by
Honestly, what a great choice for them to just bring back all these
just get Kwame his own show, you know. Let him get as many gel manis as he'd like and just go to town. I would love to watch it.
I feel like they're doing a show or a movie based off of his book.
They are. Yeah,
oh, really?
I remember seeing a promo for it or a like an ad.
That's amazing.
Chris was in the bottom with his Epi's marinated red snapper with crispy rice cake, twice fried plantains, mushroom bean puree. The main qualm with this dish for everyone, yeah, the main qualm was that he tried to do too many elements and didn't do any of them well.
Mm. That'll do it.
So Kwame's book, Notes from a Young Black Chef, is being made into a movie starring with Keith Stanfield.
Okay, well, take my money. Because, you know, I love Lakeith Stanfield. He's fantastic. Academy Award nominee, Lakeith Stanfield. Let's go.
I think he's going to, apparently, I think it looks like Kwame is going to have a cameo in the movie.
Nice.
A cameo.
A cameo.
we're doing great, everybody.
We knew that the name that we had the most puns on is Kwame. This is the second time in a row that Chris has been on the bottom. Like last time it was because of those coffee infused noodles that he made when he was on a team with Byron for the beer coffee challenge.
The pasta.
With a stripe through it?
Yeah, that did not look like it was ever going to cook in a million years because it was so thick.
So it was like, and now he's in the bottom again. I'm a little surprised. Like this is two in a row for Chris in the bottom. So
sure, but it might have not looked great to send like Chris, a Haitian guy, home over Brittany in a Pan-African challenge.
Yeah, no, for sure. I knew that Brittany was going home when I saw the other two people on the bottom, and I was like, not gonna do
it. It would have seemed just truly cruel to send Kiki home here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That would have been really bad. Not good optics, as they'd say on Scandal.
Do you need to hear my review of Red Snapper, or do we just,
No, we don't. Okay.
No, maybe just for shiggles.
Let me guess. You don't want it.
Correct.
Sarah made coconut rice porridge with jerk spice gravy, pork floss style salt cod with peanuts and pickles.
See, this is the one where it's like, okay, I know it's salt cod. But everything about this, and it's like pork floss style salt cod, and there's peanuts and pickles in it. Like, this almost sounds like more like a stew. I would try this. This interests me. This is a two. All the other fish have been threes.
Yeah, I'm interested by the things that Sarah makes because she's been doing a really good job so far this season, kind of sticking to her rustic style of cooking, but also trying to incorporate like the jerk spice gravy here. Pork floss, though. What does that mean? I don't understand what pork floss is.
I think it's like really thin, thin sliced. Okay. And I think it's like crispy.
Oh, okay. Well, then that sounds delicious. I don't know how it would go with the salt cod and the peanuts. But, you know, I love pickles. So bring those on.
When I'm looking up pork floss, it has a lot of references to Vietnam, Indonesia, and China, or origins in Hong Kong, which is kind of what's interesting. A dried meat product with a light and fluffy texture similar to coarse cotton, originating in China. So it could have been just like a fusion dish.
Yeah.
But pork floss, also known as Chinese cotton candy. I thought it had
something
to do
with
like...
Yeah, it's weird. That looks like little noodles almost.
Like pig dentistry, like is that pork floss?
Bro.
Pig dentistry.
Your swine aren't cleaning between their molars, Farmer Bill. I got nothing. Sorry.
So Kiki made beef saka saka a fufu. Poor Kiki was in the bottom, but like mostly just for the fufu because it was too dense and it wasn't. Wasn't what they wanted from a fufu.
She was so upset. She was just like, I messed up fufu. How can I even show my face anymore?
I've only had fufu once before. It did not float my boat. But I would try it again. It sounded like though when Kwame was like, yeah, the fufu was cold and it like was kind of a bit, I can't remember if he said rubbery, but it definitely was cold. So it's like, I don't think I would have wanted to try this, but like having it, that beef stew looked amazing. The saka saka.
Mm. Yeah. The doughy part, it looks, they're such huge balls of dough, that it kind of looks, I think the purpose is for it to not be completely cooked, but
the one I had was a little bit kind of, like somewhere between the consistency of like a pork dumpling, like you would get like a bao, and a very thick mashed potato. It was like, it was a little bit like almost like stringy and gooey. Like when it started to like melt a little bit, like cheese curds and poutine, to call it back to Haley. I'm sorry. That's how I think of it. I think of poutine. I think of melty cheese, like you put the cheese curds on the fries and the gravy melts them. And so the cheese curds, which were very solid, then start to kind of become stringy and gooey. That was my experience with fufu. It was like it was in a kind of a hot dish and it kind of became stringy and gooey.
Mm. I've never had poutine, nor have I ever had fufu. So we're going to have to make some changes.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to add it to the list for when you walk over to Canada.
Yeah, please. Please add it to the list. I'll be so tired by the time I get there. I will have forgotten why.
Or hear me out. You live in Chicago, right?
Yep.
Hop in a floaty.
Mm-hmm.
Make your way through the Great Lakes. I'll pick you up in Lake Erie.
Okay, that's fine. That sounds really easy, actually.
Yeah.
There used to be a good poutinery on Clark and just north of Belmont, like halfway between Belmont and Addison on Clark, but it closed down. So that doesn't do you any good.
No, it doesn't.
Let me tell you about places you can't go anymore. There's other great restaurants you'll never be able to experience.
You know what? I'll send you my list of my favorite closed restaurants.
Yeah.
So you can really see what you missed out on.
Can you reopen, please? I really just want to try one dish and then you can close forever.
There's got to be at least one poutine place in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, there has to be. I'm sure that there are several. Yeah. We've got to like take care of all the Canadian transplants.
Yeah. Gabe made a braised chicken with heirloom beans, plantain dumplings, and pickles escabeche. Sounds nice.
Gotta love. That one gotta love. I would try that for sure.
I liked how he and Maria were... or not just, but specifically them, but other people as well, were like, I think there was one dish where they were trying it and they turned to each other like, this is mole sauce.
Yeah, this is like, mole.
Yeah.
Where are the tortillas?
Exactly. So I like the fact that the kind of that dot connecting between the cuisines, either that they grew up with or learned about, and some of the, what they were, this new content that they were learning about. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
Avishar made shrimp and grits with eggplant escabeche and taro. Sounds nice. Sounds How do you feel fantastic. About shrimp? Do you like shrimp?
Yeah, I like shellfish.
Okay. You like shellfish, shrimpies. You don't like fish.
I like tuna fish in sandwich form.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'll eat fish. Like I made a HelloFresh salmon dish a few weeks ago. It was good. It just doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't excite me.
I wish everyone could see how upset Haley is right now.
I do like shrimp and grits, though. One of my friends got married. Well, two of them actually together. I got married
to each other. Happens
to each other in Mobile, and at their reception, they had a grits bar.
That sounds nice.
Yes,
the grits were served in these like large martini glasses, and you could kind of go down the line and add the toppings you wanted. So there was like shrimp, and there was cheddar, and it was really tasty.
Yum. After my wedding, we got takeout from Red Lobster.
Mm. I remember you wanted the buns or the biscuits.
They're good.
They are good.
They're
good.
They're very good. I mean, anytime Beyonce sings about Red Lobster, you know that it's...
Yeah, exactly. And we were only buying for, you know, 9 people, so why not go all out and get Red Lobster?
There's no shame in it. No shame. So.
Maria made black-eyed pea crema with oxtail, masa, plantain crema, and habanero avocado oil. This sounds lovely.
This is genius. Yeah.
This sounds like what, like some of the stuff I grew up with. So definitely black-eyed peas. You know, they could be crema if they were cooked too long.
Looks like a soup more than like a crema.
Yeah, it did.
I think they were just calling it crema for fun.
Just for yucks, just to mix things up. Oxtails for sure are just like a staple of my childhood and adulthood. I love an oxtail, and they're any that you can get so much flavor from them, like for soups and stews and everything. But when you're adding like additional spices to it, it really just like there's something that. Because they're tiny and they don't have a ton of meat on most of them, they really soak up all of the flavor. And to have that like habanero avocado oil must have been fantastic with the oxtails.
Soda made black cod and cabbage with turmeric, clove, and allspice. I'm in. Sign me up.
Yeah, I'm in because it's Soda. But yeah. I don't know if...
That's more for me what it is. It's like, yeah. I would try this because I trust Soda.
Right. If I saw it on a menu, I don't know if that would be the first thing that I'd go for. But because it's Soda, I'd be like, yes, let's try this.
Yep.
And I love when it was placed in front of the dishes. They're like, this doesn't look like an African dish. It looks like a Japanese dish. But when they tasted it, they're like, okay, like it hits all everything we were looking for. But it just looks like something Soda would.
And to me, that, I think that to me was the purpose of the challenge. Mm-hmm. Is like take inspiration from this cuisine and make it your own.
Yeah, like I think Jamie also did a really great job at that with kind of fusing the African with her background of like Vietnamese, what her mother was making.
For sure.
Jamie's been a silent killer in this competition.
Silent or nonverbal?
Touché.
Yeah, just
she's
you
been
know,
nonverbal.
She's just been the R2-D2 of this competition. Beeps and boops.
There was one point where they were coming back into the kitchen, and I had to rewind to listen to it. And it sounded like she was going, ducka, 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 which I associate with Dr. Evil doing the Macarena.
Yes. Like, yeah. Ducka, ducka,
ducka. Hey, Macarena. So she, yeah. But in terms of like coming out of nowhere with these great dishes, like it seems like, you know, she was, I'm trying to remember. She was not in the top for the dessert, but it looked damn good, the burnt-in brownie. But she won previous week. She won the quick fire.
The quick fire, yeah.
She's been in the top now. Yes, she was in the bottom the first week, but I think that was a little bit of it, more of a hiccup than anything. I'm now consistently expecting good things from her.
For sure.
What a great episode. I love this. Unfortunately, we say goodbye to Brittany. I think that sounds fair and reasonable. It kind of felt like she just was treading water and couldn't really get to where she was wanting to go, but she didn't really know where she wanted to go. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, LaTanya.
I was just going to say, when Tom asked her essentially like why she likes to cook, like what's her purpose in terms of cooking? And she had a hard time answering that question. I was just like, yeah, typically if someone is kind of waffling in terms of like their passion for the actual like cuisine, like art of cuisine, then they're going to send that person home so that they can try to figure stuff out.
Yeah. And she also had said in the stew room, something along the lines of, I don't know who I am in terms of food. And I mean, she said it, like, there was a couple of points in the episode where she, I think that was after Tom had asked her that, she was just kind of reiterating it back there. But still, I was like, that doesn't bode well.
No, it doesn't. Poor Brittany. She seems very nice.
Yeah. She sounds lovely.
And I was like, this is going to be a tough last chance kitchen to watch, because I know her and Sasha were like really close.
Such a tough last chance kitchen to watch, indeed. I forgot to watch it.
I was going to say, so tough that I didn't see it.
So this I is forgot. All me? This yeah, is- sorry. I'm really sorry. This is bad journalism. I fully intended to watch it, and I forgot until I saw this this document Kurt makes lovingly for us each week, and I was like, oh yeah, Last Chance Kitchen.
Yeah, he's like, please don't bring it up, Kurt. Please don't bring it. He brought it up. Well, it's yours now. I can give you the quick.
I don't mean to josh it out. Like, I really intended to watch it. I just forgot.
No, yeah. No, I get it. So Sasha and Brittany were challenged to create a one pot meal. I believe they tied this into the episode in terms of oftentimes a lot of the dishes in Pan-African cuisine, just kind of due to limitations on resources, like would have lots of the dishes that have to be created in a single pot. And so they literally, the only cooking vessel that they were able to use was a single cast iron pot. Kwame and Gregory were actually brought in as guest judges alongside Tom. Yeah. So they technically had to make like three servings, but you know, four, because they usually make one for each judge and then one for like photography purposes. They usually have to go one over. So they had to make, you know, multiple servings. Sasha made the winning dish, a chicken thigh cacciatore with red bell peppers, Calabrian chilies, mushrooms, and raisins. It's funny because she's like, this is a bit kind of spicy. And she was looking to cut the spice, because I think, like, you know, we saw in the main challenge, I think was it Brittany had added like some of the coconut milk to the dish to cut the spice, which ended up being a problem. Here, Sasha added in the raisins in terms of an element of the dish. I believe this is a Sicilian note. She referenced it as like part of her Sicilian heritage. They'll add raisins to anything. And Tom kind of called that out as well. It was more to add an element of sweetness to the spice versus cutting the spice. And Brittany made a corn chowder with cod and crab. So cod. Let me tell you what I think of this dish. No, I'm kidding. He liked both dishes, but he thought that Sasha's was amazing and well put together. And so this is the second week in a row Sasha has won. And she kind of voiced how she's really starting to she's beginning to feel that energy and that momentum now that she's in Last Chance Kitchen. Like, she had like maybe a hard time getting off the starting blocks right at the beginning, but she's finding her stride here. And Tom called out how you have some people who like didn't really click in the main competition, but they find that they shine in Last Chance Kitchen and they finally get their feet under them and return to the competition and do well. And he kind of, you know, that's the arc that he laid out in front of a potential one for Sasha. So Brittany was eliminated, and we'll be seeing whoever comes in next week will join Sasha in the competition. And now Brittany's over with Roscoe cheering from the sidelines. And
I was going to ask if Roscoe.
Yeah. And they're all like, you know, hugging each other and stuff. So like, you can tell they're all quarantining together still. As far as I know, Roscoe's still in the same hotel they mm-hmm. all are. But yeah, Roscoe was there. And so they are building up that peanut gallery of commenters slowly.
It's really nice to have a group of chefs that actually like each other. That's yeah. something that I've noticed has changed a lot more in the more recent seasons of Top Chef, is that there's just a respect for, because, you know, the first seasons were rough. Like there were mm-hmm. some really mean moments and some people's like egos really getting in the way. And I, you know, you really noticed it with last season being All Stars, where there could have been all of the egos and really it was just like a love fest. And it seems like all of the chefs are just so happy to be out of quarantine at home and cooking again because of all the turbulence that's been going on with the restaurant industry mm-hmm. that they're just, you know, they're all like, you know, they love each other. So it's great.
So we're down to our final 12.
Oh my gosh. I guess are we going to do a draft now?
We can do a draft real quick.
Oh, we're going to do a draft?
Three people each.
Okay.
Ooh.
I can take notes.
Okay. How should we do it? Latonya, you're newest here. You pick the draft order and yeah. it's going to be a steak draft.
I don't know what this is, so I shouldn't. So
all it is you're picking who you think or want to win, and you'll get to pick four people for your team. And it's just, that's who you're cheering on to the finish line. But we'll pick okay. one of us. So it will be like, if it's like Latonya, Haley, Kurt, then the next round of picks goes Kurt, Haley, Latonya. So would you like to pick, you get to arrange the order of the first round, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, got it. Okay. I will go first.
Okay.
Haley will go second. And Kurt, because you hate fish, you'll go third.
And then I get to go fourth, Haley fifth, you sixth. Again, it repeats, bounces yeah. back and forth. Okay. So out of the 12 people still in the competition, who do you want on your team? Who are you
going for? I'm going to start with Dawn.
Okay. I'm going to take Avishar.
I'm sorry. Who did you pick?
Avishar.
Avishar. I'm going to pick, I'm picking Shota.
Damn it.
and then just because I am intrigued by her, you know what? Thanks, Sarah.
Damn it.
I'm going to go with Jamie.
Okay. Oh, that was I get two in a row now.
I quit.
You get two in a row.
I know. Okay. Let's see. Maria. This is hard. Let's quit. Let's see. I'll go with Gabe. Okay. Even though he's like, yeah. he's a problematic fave at this point a little bit, right? But like, which one worked for Tom?
That was Gabriel.
Oh, okay. So
he was the one that had the white dish. Oh, goat cheese mashed potatoes.
See, that's what I'm wondering. Gabe white food is going to win from here on out.
Gabe made the stout tortillas last week.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna pick Gabe then. I'm gonna stick with Gabe.
I'm gonna go.
You can't pick Padma.
I can't. Can I pick Tom?
I wanted to pick the judging panel.
I'll pick Gail then. That's fine.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay. Yeah, I'm taking Byron.
Byron. Okay. So then two picks to me. I will pick Gabriel only because it's my brand.
That's the Kirk pick. Yep.
Yep. The whitest white guy always ends up on my team.
Yeah.
I will then pick. We've got Nelson, Chris, and Kiki. I am going to go with Nelson. We haven't and seen I'm, a lot from.
And I'm going to go with Kiki.
Which gives you
Mother of Pearl. Fine.
Okay. So just to recap, Latonya has Dawn, Chris, Gabe and Maria. Haley has Byron, Jamie, Kiki and Avishar, and Kurt has Nelson, Gabriel, Sarah, and Shota.
Ooh. I want to redo the draft order. I call shenanigans. No, I'm just kidding.
And keep in mind, if I mean, the only way this gets messed up is if Sasha comes back from Last Chance Kitchen and wins the whole thing.
That's audience team.
In which case, yeah, we'll declare Emily the winner in that case.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's not the first time that I've like massively miscalculated in coming up with like groups of people that I follow, but I think this is a pretty solid list.
We've all got kind of some mix of tiers here.
Yeah, so. Don and Maria, I'm excited to have those two, especially.
We want to talk about foods this week?
Foods, more jams.
What did you eat and make this week, Kurt Clark?
I think actually I'm trying to remember. I had a.
That's unlike you. Are you okay?
A little bit. I'm a little okay. I actually got a Martha and Marley Spoon meal prep kit this week. And the dishes I got it on Tuesday. I made the dishes Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. So I got it out of the way very quickly. And I was trying to find the menu there, but I failed. I can't even remember what the dishes were. There was like a sesame beef dish. There was like a stir fried chicken dish. And then there was it was a walnut, kale, and herb spaghetti. It was vegetarian with goat cheese on top. So that was actually really good as well.
Was it too white?
No.
Good.
the thing I stumbled upon yesterday is I went to the grocery store and I bought some cotton candy grapes and freezing them and then just eating them while they're frozen. Amazing. Frozen grapes.
Cotton candy grapes. I feel like you're making half of this stuff up sometimes.
No.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, I've heard of them. I haven't tasted them.
What is this fancy grocery store that you go to? They're at Target.
I believe it's pronounced Target.
Target.
Come on with this like. It's in Target.
Yeah. And I actually got like a shipment from Imperfect Produce of some oranges, some pears, some plums, some goat cheese. I placed an order. I added some of that to the list.
Now I'm dying for goat cheese.
Yeah, seriously.
And yesterday I got a thin crust gyro pizza with lamb meat, pepperoncinis, cucumber, tomato, and red onions, and a tzatziki sauce. It was okay. The thin crust didn't do it for me. But yeah, those are some of the highlights from my week. How about you, LaTanya?
So I had ramen-san, of course, because I had to. And I had like a raw tuna dish that's kind of mixed with cilantro. And it has some like garlic oil in it. And they serve it with these like crisps that have like S&P mix on them that are really, really good. They also do this, like, they do something with a tomato that I can't quite understand, but it's just a tomato and they make it taste ridiculously good. Most recently I found a new pizza place. It's called Robert's Pizza, here in Chicago, like River North, Streeterville area. And the one that I got last night was like the, wild mushroom. Ooh. And duck prosciutto with
their you and some, your fancy pizzas can't get that at Target.
I could get a regular pizza at Target and then make that happen. It had some roasted garlic cloves as well, and some heirloom tomatoes, and it was delicious. And I got a beet and kale salad to go along with it. And there was also some mandarin oranges and candied walnuts in there with like this champagne vinaigrette.
Any goat cheese?
Was there? Yes.
Beet salad. There was. I was surprised there was definitely goat cheese.
It was delicious. And now I want it again.
It sounds really. I've been discovering kind of a love for mushrooms this year that I didn't know I had. So, trying to get more things with mushrooms.
I love mushrooms. I really can't have a pizza that doesn't have mushrooms on it at this point.
Haley.
Hi.
You started a snacks or a foods photo folder.
I did on my Facebook. Just basically took all the nice photos they take of food and put on my Instagram. I was like, why not put this on Facebook for all of my over 50-year-old relatives?
Yeah.
So that was my act of charity this week.
Did you make anything?
I did, actually. So we took a page out of the Kurt Clark handbook, and we actually got a food subscription box. One of my friends had a code for every week, so we did that. We had Portuguese spice rubbed chicken. Last night we had portobello and Swiss burgers, which were tasty, tasty. Tomorrow we're going to have Sichuan spiced pork chops. And I don't really love pork chops, mostly because when I was growing up, my father would cook them and he would absolutely hammer them.
Yeah.
So I'm not like the most excited about that one. That was an Ethan choice, but we'll see. I'll probably enjoy it. And this morning I made some biscuits for some breakfast sandwiches. And I did the RHAP takeover on Instagram. So I actually made the biscuits over there.
Wow. Nice.
So I think that's what I did.
I did. I think we talked last week. I'm not a big breakfast person, but my Sundays are a little odd with the timing of recording something. So I'm more likely to eat breakfast on a Sunday. And there's a local place near me, Leo's Coney Island. They'll do burgers and Coney dogs, which is a kind of a big, you know, Michigan thing. But they also have like Greek stuff and breakfast stuff. And so this morning I got avocado toast and I got a breakfast stuffed pita. So it was like hash browns and cheddar and ham and scrambled eggs, but in a pita instead of like wrap.
That sounds great, actually.
Tasty. I didn't see if I could have added lamb or like gyro meat. I wish I had done that instead. But
yeah, next time.
Next time.
It's good to have like vegetarian meals too.
Yeah.
You know, helps the environment, helps your health.
I was surprised I liked that vegetarian pasta that I made, the walnut and kale one. It was a lot of moving parts to it in terms of the prep work, but it was really, really good. I need to do more vegetarian stuff.
Mm.
I tried to make a vegetable. Oh, this is one thing I made this week. I made focaccia, which turned out horrifically. And then I tried to make a vegetarian pasta, which also turned out horrifically. So, you know, you can't win them all.
It's okay.
Hmm. Yeah, you can't. That's true.
Focaccia sounds good. I think back to the when we watched.
It was bad. Let me tell you, it was bad.
Remember when we watched Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, and there was the, the fat or the salt episode where they made focaccia bread. It was the fat episode because there was a lot of talk about olive oil. That looks so good. Focaccia just sounds really good right now.
Maybe I'll try her recipe, or maybe my yeast is dead. Like, I don't know. Does yeast die? Like, I'm an idiot. I don't know what these things do.
Sounds like an Emily question.
Yeah.
Emily,
where are you?
Tell me.
Yeah. Tell me right away.
So
I love that Emily is like Foodpedia. You don't really need to go to the internet. You can just text Emily. It's great.
I should text Emily, actually.
I've had questions about some certain things I was looking to make, and I was like, should I try this way or this way? And she would always give me a recommendation, and so far it's always worked out.
Yeah, she's great. I think tonight I'm going to make like a roast chicken I'm going to put some whole cloves of garlic in there, cover it with a vodka sauce.
Ooh.
And put some sweet vine ripened tomatoes cut up around there and bake that in the oven and see how it comes out.
That sounds lovely.
Thank you.
I did order a few dishes from goldbelly.com, who we need to get as a sponsor. This week, I think there was a couple of sandwich kits one's a burnt end sandwich kit that's arriving this week.
Yum.
There's another one that won't arrive until June. It's the steak, mushroom, onion, and Gruyere pie.
Wow.
That is, I try to get it every year for my birthday, and it's amazing.
When's your birthday?
It's in June, end of June.
Okay. Good to know.
But yeah, that's my story.
Well, Kurt, where can people find you on the internet?
I am at Kurt Clark with two C's. You can find me on the Instagram, on the Twitch. I streamed some Fall Guys this weekend. I had, I think, two viewers. It was very exciting. And yeah, just on the Twitter, reach out. Pictures of food, pictures of random stuff. Good times.
Tanya?
I'm at LK Starks on Twitter. I haven't given out my Instagram handle, but if you can find me, then congratulations. I also, you can find me dropping on, I guess, tomorrow, in addition to this podcast, is the penultimate episode of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier for Everything is Super over at Post Show Recaps. Because I contain multitudes, like much like Brooklyn Zed. And I'm just like trying to make, you know, making the way in the world today takes everything you got.
It does.
So yeah, find me on Twitter. Send me GIFs that don't give away the endings to things. It's fun. It's a fun game.
More fun than sending GIFs that do give away endings.
Way more fun than that. And I promise the season is over now, so I'm done talking about gymnastics until the Olympics. So you
have to come back. No, I love the gymnastics content. That's what I'm here for.
Nationals are over. And I'm disappointed in how they turned out. So, you know.
One time I did a thread on Twitter where I just said, like, spoil your favorite show for me. And people were very mad. Because some people would spoil shows that like just came out.
Oh no. Yeah, I don't want spoilers. No spoilers.
No, also, if you want to spoil things, just DM me directly.
Exactly. Yeah. And I won't look at those DMs.
I don't want spoilers for shows that haven't happened yet. I only want spoilers for shows that have happened and I will not watch.
I can provide you with all the spoilers for any show that has not yet happened.
Yes.
So we can talk about that later.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @strong_. You can check out my new book account on Instagram, The Strong Library. Like I said, I did the takeover on RHAP Graham's. That's happening today. So if you're listening to this tomorrow or the next day or beyond that, it probably has disappeared into the ether. And sorry about that. I'm doing the Top Chef podcast regularly, so that's nice for me.
I hear your co-hosts are amazing.
They're the most swell. And what else have I done this week? Oh, I was on the Circle podcast last night. That was fun. And then if you missed it, a couple weeks ago, I was on the Reality Rewind with Chappelle and Rob and Shannon Gus, and we talked about America's Next Top Model. Great podcast. Definitely listen to that.
Fantastic podcast.
I love it so much.
Listen to it whether you've seen Top Model or not. It doesn't matter. It's not
a prerequisite.
No.
Yeah. I think that's it. I'm just kicking around, you know, living the life. So that's it. Pack your knives and go. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.